Do you want to go behind the scenes at World Championship Wrestling and find out what really happened from one of the greatest minds in the history of the business, the infamous booker behind WCW's success with the New World Order? Other podcasts weren't there. Let's clean up the fantasy bullshit, give you real facts and real stories with the Taskmaster himself. Yes, this is Taskmaster Talks with Kevin Sullivan, available on the Creative Control Network.
Salutations. What it is.
God damn. Welcome, citizens. It's Shane Hurricane Helms coming through with another episode of Highway to Helms, episode 68 to be exact. For my long-term listeners, thanks for sticking with it. For my new listeners, you're in for some nonsense, because this shit don't make no sense. And that's what nonsense means. So, got to start off with some bullshit. My undefeated fantasy football team, undefeated no longer. Man, damn. My team vastly underperformed. They needed that blue chew. They just couldn't perform. They fucking suck. They stunk it up this week. I don't know what happened. I know what happened. That fucking Ezekiel Elliott is what happened. Listen, I know for many years we've been dealing with these bullshit Dallas Cowboys being referred to as America's team. Well, now they really are America's team, because America is a flaming fucking dumpster pile right now, and so is the Dallas Cowboys. So finally, yeah, finally you're America's team when America is at its worst. Man, they stunk it up. Why? Why would they do it? I did watch Tampa Bay play this week. I got a kick out of that. You know, I've been a Tom Brady fan for a long time. So seeing him and Gronk reconnect, I thought that was pretty cool. Gronk's first touchdown in Tampa Bay, his first touchdown in about 2 years, I guess, around that time frame anyway. So that was pretty cool. Cool for him. You know, I got to hang out with him New Year's Eve this year. You know, when we thought this year was going to be cool, you know, remember that? You guys remember that? Remember how we brought in 2020 like it was going to be the best year ever? We were wrong. All of us. We fucked up, y'all. We fucked up. I thought that was really good. Tampa Bay, I thought, put on a good performance, a good team. It's interesting to see Brady go there and still. They were talking about it because a couple games before, Tampa Bay just had a lot of penalties. And any of my football fans know that the New England Patriots, they're a very disciplined team. They don't get a lot of penalties and stuff like that. They, you know, practice hard. They practice very hard. They're a very structured team. And so it goes to Tampa Bay, and they don't have that structure. They don't have that discipline. They're out there fucking up. And Tom was on the sidelines just yelling. They had a much better display this past Sunday, and that was good to see. A good little week of NFL. I also checked out UFC. I can't remember the whole card. It actually came on early. I missed fucking most of it. But I did get to catch the main event. The main event was supposed to be a barn burner. A burner of barns. But it wasn't quite that. It was pretty one-sided. Brian Ortega, T-City, pieced up the Korean Zombie. For those of you that don't watch MMA, when I say pieced up, that's the technical term for whooping somebody's ass. I don't know how technical it is, but the Korean Zombie did not look like his normal attack mode self. Too reserved, I felt. And Brian Ortega looked as best as he's ever has, and that's a dangerous combination. When your opponent looks their worst and you're their best, you're at your best, that's a good night for you. So, really good. Speaking of Korean Zombie, well, actually not Korean Zombie, just Zombie. Speaking of the word Zombie, I don't know if you guys saw this. I put it on Twitter a couple of days ago. Miley Cyrus did a cover of Zombies by the Cranberries. And that shit was badass to me in my non-musical ass. Wait a minute. I do have a songwriting credit. So I do have some musical background. So that entitles me to give my opinion. I thought it was really good. JoJo, can you put that in real quick? This is a test, y'all, to see if JoJo even listens to this shit, to put that clip in real quick for me. So we're going to do it in 3, 2, 1. Boom. Did he do it? We'll see. But I thought it was really fucking good. And it's one of those things when you put that on Twitter, it goes, man, hey, I like this. It's always interesting to see what people come back and go, I think it fucking sucks. There's always somebody, I think I hate it. Like, all right. You could have just put that on your page, though. You didn't have to reply to me, a stranger. Like, I get that with friends. I get that with people you know. Like, really? You like that? I didn't like that. What is it that you liked about that or didn't like about it? I see, I can have those conversations. When it's with a total stranger, to me, it's always strange. Especially when it's just that. Because all I said was, I like this. And then somebody's reply is, it sucks. I'm like, all right, thanks for the conversation there. You really helped out. And in, you know, direct contrast to that, there was a movie I talked about. What was that fucking movie? What the fuck is the name? Adam Sandler put out this Halloween movie on Netflix. And seriously, 5 minutes in, I tapped out. Like, that shit sucked. And that's all I put in. Like, I tried to watch it 5 minutes in, I tapped out. I didn't even say it sucked. But obviously, that's implied. If I tapped out in 5 minutes, shit must not have been good. Unless we're talking about something else, then it might be really good. That's why you got to tap quick. You know what I'm saying? Ha ha! But yeah, so then it was amazing the replies I got to that, because there were some people that was like, they watched it twice. And this guy's like, yeah, me and my woman watched it twice. And I was like, twice? I couldn't get through 5 minutes of this shit. It was like comedy. Like, if you've never seen a comedian on stage bomb, like, there's just, like, how you feel embarrassed for them. It was like that, but I was watching it by myself. If you're watching some shit by yourself and you still feel embarrassed, that's bad. That's that means something is not good. And so, but people was like, yeah, you got to get through the first little bit, and then it really gets funny. Because he kind of dives back into some of the characters from his older movies, guest appearances, like from, what were they, fucking Happy Gilmore, Billy Madison. So maybe I'll go give it another shot. We'll see. But I know the first couple minutes of that movie were just dumb as fuck. And I'm talking about, listen, I understand Adam Sandler's comedy. I understand his style. So it's not like I went into this shit expecting Bill Burr. I understand what Adam Sandler does. And still, was not impressed. But I might have to go give it a shot because, you know, you just you know. Speaking of some fucked up shit, here's this nice little transition. Did y'all hear the story? There's a dude from CNN. I think it was like CNN or The New Yorker or something. He's on this Zoom call, right, with all these people. And dude's over there with his dick out. Over there cranking it. Am I supposed to say penis? And so he had to put out this apology, like he didn't know the camera was on or some shit like that. But it's like, that's his apology. He didn't know the camera was on. Like, well, you still over there handling your business during a business call? Like, that's not normal, right? Oh man, this dude is done. At least he's done at that job. I don't even know if they fired him. Probably not. He'd probably get away with it. Motherfucker just had to touch himself. And so anyway, I put up on Twitter too. There was a clip. Here's another one for JoJo. If you can find it, this will be a big test. There's a scene from Seinfeld where George Costanza has sex with the office cleaning lady on his desk. And like, he gets fired for it. And I can't remember exactly what he says, but when their boss is asking him about it, George just goes, is that wrong? Should I not have done that? And I've just always remembered that. That was just, I really got to plead ignorance on this one. It was some shit like that. Anyway, JoJo, if you can find that and put that in right here in 3, 2, 1.
I'm going to get right to the point. It's come to my attention that you and the cleaning woman have engaged in sexual intercourse on the desk in your office. Is that correct? Who said that?
She did.
Was that wrong? Should I not have done that? I tell you, I gotta plead ignorance on this thing, because if anyone had said anything to me at all when I first started here, that sort of thing was frowned upon. You know, because I've worked in a lot of offices, and I tell you, people do that all the time.
You're fired.
Well, you didn't have to say it like that.
I want you out of here by the end of the day.
What about the whole Christmas spirit thing? Any flexibility there?
Nah.
See, we're going to see. We're going to see how well JoJo is paying attention. So anyway, what else did I do this week as far as watching TV? I finished up Ratched on Netflix. Nurse Ratched, that's a character from One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, a famous movie starring Jack Nicholson, one of his earlier ones that was really about his rise to prominence, you know. And so this takes a character from there. I finished that. I thought that was pretty decent. You know, Sarah Paulson's a good actress. She loves to cry, though. Every episode, somebody's crying. I watched a couple more episodes of The Good Place. I'm still very entertained by that show. Lighthearted. You know, sometimes you just need some lightheartedness. That one's a good one. What else? There's a movie on Hulu called Low Life. I got to recommend this one to you guys. It's a damn luchador. Like, it would keep popping up, like, on the suggestions, however that algorithm works. And it's a dude wearing a luchador mask. Old school, like, kind of like Mr. Wrestling number one, number two, whatever. That old school look, but it's all red with, like, gold trim around the eyes, nose, and mouth. And it just looked like it would be terrible. But there's almost a Napoleon Dynamite vibe to it in the terms of humor. And there were some really good pops, man. There was, for me, it was a scene, because the luchador guy is pretty funny. I can't even remember his fucking name, his gimmick name, El Monstro or something like that, Monstrous or some shit like that. But, like, the scene that killed me the most is, like, there's this dude, he's an African-American black guy, person of color, and he's waiting to get a friend out. He's a white dude that's in jail, and he's waiting to go pick him up. He's getting released from jail. He'd been in there for a couple years or some shit, 10 years. And so he's just waiting for his friend to get out to pick him up, and when the white dude comes walking, he's got a big swastika tattooed on his face. And he just gets in the car like everything's cool and just starts talking. And he's got kind of an Eminem vibe to him. And he's just sitting there talking like, yeah, what's up, man? Go, man, so glad to see you, man. Man, it's time to hit the streets, all this kind of shit. And the black guy's just looking at him like, what the fuck is up? And it is just fucking hilarious. And then they finally, he explains that he had to do it to survive inside. And anyway, they get in some kind of argument, and now the dude with the white dude is going to just go walking down the street. And the dude's like, you can't walk around the street with that shit on your face. He's like, nah, man, people ain't like that. Don't worry about it. And the next thing you know, he's just getting his ass whooped. Oh, that shit was funny. Ah, I dug that. That was pretty damn good. I enjoyed that. Another little movie I checked out was called Spell. I believe this was... This might have been an Amazon Prime one. Could have been a Hulu. I need to write down what device I saw these on, but I believe this was Amazon Prime. The premise here is, following the death of his fiancée, an American illustrator embarks on a soul-searching journey across the isolated Icelandic countryside, only to become drawn into a supernatural world of ancient runes and secrets. Or is it all in his mind? I thought this was good. I really like the premise behind it. It's a low-budget film, so, you know, they had to kind of keep things a little simplistic. But I actually enjoyed that fucking movie. We watched The Kitchen. I believe this was also on fucking Amazon Prime. Could have been a Hulu. I don't fucking know. But it's like three 1978 Hell's Kitchens housewives take over the family business after their mobster husbands are sent to prison. Not bad. You know, Not great. Not bad. It happened. One of my favorites of the weekend is Palm Springs, and that was on Hulu, starring Adam Sandberg, Andy Sandberg, the guy from Brooklyn Nine-Nine, whatever the fuck his name is. I really like him. I like him so much I don't know his fucking name. Andy Sandberg, Adam Sandberg. I think it's Adam Sandberg. Anyway, I think that guy's funny. And this movie is kind of like a Groundhog Day type movie where they keep reliving the same day over and over. But there's a twist to it. And I really enjoyed this movie. I thought there were some really good laughs. Adam Sandberg, if that is his real name. I'm a fan of that guy. So I really enjoyed that one. The last thing on TV I wanted to talk about was, I touched on this one last week. It's a show called One Mississippi, and this is on Amazon Prime. And it's starring this comedian named Tig Notaro. Now, this is quite unlike anything I've suggested to you guys before. Tig Notaro is, she has had breast cancer, I'm guessing. And she had, I don't know the medical term for this, but she had both the breasts removed. And, like, she even shows it in the show. It takes off her shirt in front of the mirror and just, like, I've never seen that before, so, you know, it's a bit shocking, but at the same time, you can't help but respect her for being brave enough to do that, because I don't think a lot of women would. Like I say, I've never seen it. And then again, I don't know why I would see it, so there's that side of the argument. But it was powerful for her to do that, you know, and just like, man, wow, okay, this is going to be a really honest show, you know, really raw. And so she's of the lesbian community, and that's a part of it, but it also is just who she is. And I really enjoyed that. It wasn't this big pride thing or a pride parade type thing. It's like, she just happens to be a lesbian, and you get more comfortable with that. And I think a lot of people need to find their comfort zone in dealing with, people of the LGBTQ community. But this show was just really good, and she dives into, I guess she was molested as a kid, and just all the honesty involved with that and how it affects other people around those situations. And it was just, I don't know, it was a really powerful show, thought-provoking, and I would highly recommend it. You know, I talk about my friend Canyon, and, you know, how I don't have a problem dealing with anybody. And the main reason is I got to hang around a lot of people. I don't think you're ever going to understand or have even a remote chance of understanding somebody from that community if you never associate with anybody from that community. And so at least watching a show, maybe you can hear that voice a little bit and get a little bit of the understanding. What the fuck am I? Am I a guru or something? I don't know. But I don't know. I think it was a really great show. Give it a chance. You might get something out of it. You might not. What the fuck do I know? But anyway, I loved it, and I'm a big fan of Tig Notaro from this show. I had seen clips of her in stand-up before, and I thought she was funny before, but this is the biggest project I've seen her do, and I really dug it. So, highest possible recommendation from the Hurricane. Boom! Podcasts. They're free to you, but they're not free to do. We need to keep this Highway to Helms train rolling, but I want to keep it free. Free of charge. So here's what we do. We go to prowrestlingtees.com/ShaneHelms and pick yourself up a shirt. I got shirts. I got COVID masks. I got merchandise available there that isn't available anywhere else. So go to prowrestlingtees.com/ShaneHelms and pick yourself up a shirt. This train must keep rolling on the Highway to Helms. And now it's time for the Comic Slam.
Meanwhile, at the Hall of Justice.
Like we always do about this time, I'm going to talk about some comics. You might like them. If you like them, go buy them. And then tweet me about them. And we can talk about them. That is the bad thing about this portion of not having any guests on my show. Because I would like to go back and forth to get some other opinions on these books. But be that as it will fucking may. Where to begin? I got a plethora. Where did I start at last week? So I got to look at my notes because I take dubious notes. I need a fucking doobie. I'm going to start this week with DC. This is from their Black Label line of books. Batman, Three Jokers, And this one was recommended to me by Epic Comics in Orlando. So I took his advice. This is by Jeff Johns and Jason Fabuk is the artist, I believe. And this is a story, a Batman story that involves, you guessed it, three Jokers. And we don't know which one, if any, is the real Joker. Are these Jokers from different multiverses popping in? We don't know. That's the mystery of this book. I really dug it. You know I complained years ago about there being too many Jokers, and here I am endorsing a book with three Jokers. But that just goes to show, anything done right can be done right. You see that wisdom? That shit belongs in a cookie. What's the opposite of fortune cookies? That's to be my kind of cookie. But I thought this was really good. I love the art. They did a lot of nine-panel grids on the pages, reminiscent of the Watchmen. But I'm guessing that was intentional. I find it hard to believe that it wasn't, but I was really fascinated. The Red Hood in this one goes rogue and puts a motherfucking bullet in one of the Joker's brain. Spoiler alert. But I don't feel bad about giving some of the endings of these books because I've purposely wait at least a month. Some of these books are like about 5 weeks past. So I feel like if I do that, I give yourself a window. You know, anything a month past, we're past the spoiler alert. If I talk about anything that came out this week, I probably won't go into much detail in the story. But if I'm endorsing it, it's still so good that you should go get it. So I dug this book. Check it out if you get a chance. Moving on, DC Universe, Suicide Squad number 8. I'm fully on board for this version of the Suicide Squad. This is brought to you by Tom Taylor, who's doing big things. Art is by Daniel Sampier. I'm guessing I said that right. And this new Suicide Squad cast, you know, the Airy, I know I talked about that character a couple episodes back. Really digging that character. Deadshot's got a big play in this. Harley Quinn, of course. And this book just continues to be really good. Continuing the storyline, you get some backstory on the Airy and how the Airy and Wink became friends, how they became an item, their origin story. And that was really good. I'm really digging this book. Amanda Waller continues to be an asshole. And Tom Taylor writes her really well. I know like sometimes she kind of skirts the line, like, sometimes she's supposed to be doing things for the right, but she still does so many, dirty things that you can't help but dislike her. But so, really good story. Like I said, the Airy Wink portion was super good. There's a big motherfucker in this. What's her name? It's a big female that looks cool, like a cool ass character. I wrote her name down somewhere. Where did I write it down? Osita, I believe, is what it is. If I said it right, Osita. I don't know what the fuck that means. Maybe that means something in a different language that I am not familiar with. Listen, I'm struggling to master English. Don't ask me to master another fucking language because that shit ain't happening. Another DC University. This one, I started off with DC because I went really heavy on Marvel, I think, for the last 2 weeks. But this is Justice League Dark, number 25. Their Last Hope, Detective Chimp. You know, I've said it week after week after week. I love me some Detective Chimp. I don't know why, but I just do. And this story mainly focuses on, this is continuing the Zatanna story where she's looking for her father. Her father has been kidnapped in a magical realm. This is brought to you by the writer Ram V. Motherfucker, his last name is V. See, I understand that. I can't pronounce that. The artist is Amanke, Nihualapan. That's the artist. See, that shit I struggle with. The writer, Ram V. Or it could be Ram 5. Maybe it's a Roman numeral. I don't fucking know. But anyway, this book's really good. So this digs into the mystical arts of the DC Universe. You get a little swamp thing in here. A little man bat. We already know. I don't give a fuck about man bat, but I can tolerate him in here. Wonder Woman's doing good shit in here. So I'm really digging this book. This is another good one. A big power play by the Swamp Thing at the end of this book. Did I say Man Thing earlier? If I said Man Thing, that was an accident. Swamp Thing. There's a fucking demon monster in here that is drawn incredibly fucking creepy. I thought that was cool as shit. Anyway, this is another good one, another banger. This is a title I'm going to continue to keep reading. And when I say that for a reason, because there's a couple titles that I look at that I've talked about before, and I'm just like, I'm not feeling it. And I don't want to get on here and bury a book. So if you hear me stop talking about any particular title, there's probably a reason for it. That shit just happens sometimes. You get new creative teams and you're just not feeling that vibe. There's so much good books out there. You know, just find something that you like. And here's another one I like, also from Deceased. DC, I said. This is Deceased, Dead Planet number 3 of 7. This is also, I believe, brought to you by Tom Taylor. This motherfucker's working. He's putting in his overtime. Pencils by Trevor Hansine, I believe. And the variant cover, they got some variant covers, but I don't know which fucking one I got. There's some Detective Chimp in this as well. I get multiple books with Detective Chimp this week. I'm pretty happy about this. If you remember issue 2 of this book, it ended with there was this red moat around a castle that everybody thought was this red fluid, but it was actually Plastic Man. He's a fucking zombie now, and he liquefied himself, and he wiped out a couple members of the team. So this is picking up right after that. They got to figure out a way out of that scenario. Xantana to the rescue. You get some Swamp Thing in this one, too. Some John Constantine, some Dr. Fate. You get a cute little scene with Commissioner Gordon and the new Batman, who was Damian. You know, Batman had to do the job in this one. So Damian is taking up the Batmantle. Cool little scene with him. They figured out a cure for this, for the anti-life equation. It's in Cyborg's body somehow. So Superman has been cured. He's the first one that's been cured. There's been millions of people dead from this. Multiple heroes and villains have died from this. They have deceased. Now Superman has been the first cured. It's not Superman. It's Superboy, who is now Superman. John Kent. I almost said John Connor. Not John Connor from the fucking Terminator. He is not Superman, Shane. Stupid. But anyway, he wakes up. Mary Marvel's over there checking out on him. She's watching over him. I think we got a little budding romance there between the new Superman and Mary Marvel. You see what I'm saying? There might be lightning in the future. Wah, wah, wah. Stupid. But this book continues to just be good as fuck. And a good cliffhanger with the demon Trigon is coming because these zombies, these humans are turning into zombies. No souls are going to hell. And that's making the demons in hell upset. So they're going to come to Earth, fuck everything up. Trigon is the one. He's going to come fuck some shit up and just start over fresh. I think it's his plan. That was a pretty good cliffhanger. Also, there's this robot called Amazo, I guess. A-M-A-Z-O. Amazo, Amazo, however you want to pronounce that. And it's a really weird character because it's this robot that supposedly somehow has all the powers of the Justice League. Now, you would think, I've thought about this since this character was first came out. I'm like, if you could create a robot like that, why don't you just create a bunch of them and take over the fucking world? I've thought about that since I was a kid. Nobody's ever done it. Not to my knowledge. Now they do it because these motherfuckers done made a whole army of Amazo robots. And I don't know how you're going to beat them. That's going to be tough. So this book continues to be killer. Also, toward the end, I got to mention Mr. Miracle pops in. I used to hate Mr. Miracle. Now I love Mr. Miracle. And so I'm very excited about where this book goes into issue number 4. But fantastic. Issue number 3, Deceased from DC Comics. It's been on my top list, my pull list at the very top. Every week it comes out. It's the first one I want to read. That's how good that is. Now we're going on to Boom Studios, and I picked this book up simply because of the cover. It had in big letters, "We Only Find Them When They're Dead." That's the name of the book. "We Only Find Them When They're Dead." This is brought to you by Al Ewing and Simone DeMio. The cover is Simone DeMio. The art is Simone DeMio, written by Al Ewing. And the basis of this is set in the future. It's a space space story, spaceships and ship flying around. And what they do is there's big, huge gods, G-O-D-S, like from Marvel, you would think of a celestial. And so they find these dead gods floating in space, and these like different groups try to go and get pieces of the body. They are like grave robbers of space gods. So I'm really fascinating and an original premise. So I'm kind of on board for this. It is, you know, even as I say that aloud, a little morbid. There's a little morbidity, but fuck it. I'm on board. It's weird, too, because one of the things I hate about comics is they just kill people all the fucking time. But these people, they already did. You know what I'm saying? They're just picking the bones. That doesn't help, Shane. Yeah, it just is what it is. But I really dug it. It's an original premise. Good art. Good story. So I'm going to give it another couple issues. You know, can't say I'm going to commit to it for the rest of my life. All my life. But so far, so good. I'm digging it. And that's where we at. Let me see what else we got going on here. I know I wanted to talk about this one, and also I wanted to talk about three more I wanted to talk about. This one was a special surprise. This is from Dark Horse Comics. It's The Orville. If you remember that TV show starring Seth MacFarlane, I think written and whatever produced by MacFarlane as well. You know, of course he was known for Family Guy, but that guy, it was obviously a Star Trek homage and so in comic form. And I thought this was really good. The script was David Goodman. Art was David Cabeza. And I thought the art was fascinating because he drew them and they looked just like their characters on the show, which I imagine, I'm not an artist, but I imagine that would be more difficult than just creating whoever the fuck you want. Any artists out there want to chime in and tell me whether I'm right or wrong, let me know. Is it easier to draw somebody that already exists, their facial features, or is it harder to create your own facial features and to continue that on? I don't fucking know. But I thought this was good. It really stuck to the tone of the show, the theme of the show. There's a new enemy pops up without giving away too much. And at the end, there's a direct homage to the Death Star. So the Orville, the show, more of an homage to Star Trek, which therefore the book is too. But at the end, there's a definite homage to the Death Star, and I'm sticking around for issue two. So I'm enjoying that. I love that show, and I'm enjoying the book as well. Now moving on to Xenoscope. This is Conspiracy. Each one of these conspiracy books are standalone stories, and it's about more of the real conspiracies on Earth, ancient aliens, men in black, that sort of shit. This one focuses on the Black Knight satellite. If you don't know the conspiracy of the Black Knight satellite, Google it. You'll probably be very interested in it and then fall down a fucking rabbit hole for at least an hour or so. Also in this, they touch on, real quick, the stories by Joe Brusher, Ralph Tedesco, and Dave Franchini. The writer, that said the story, the writers are Hans Rudioff, Adam Goldberg, and the artwork is Alan Otero. So good story. It also touches on the Tic Tac UFO event. If you don't know that, please Google that one. That one is within the last couple years, in the last five, and it's one that really has gained a lot of attention and a lot of momentum in terms of credibility, coming from credible sources. Air Force pilots, I believe, Commander Faber, I believe is the guy. He's, of course, they're not going to mention anybody's real name in this book. This is off the top of my head, but I know a little bit about that story, but it's completely fascinating. So Tic Tac, like the breath mint, Tic Tac UFO phenomenon. You could Google any of those combination of words and you should be able to pull up that story. But it's really fascinating. So really digging that book. That's Conspiracy by Xenoscope. Make sure I get the company right here. Give them their props. Yes, Xenoscope. Z-E-N-E Scope. Scope like for your dirty ass breath. Xenoscope. Check that out. And so the last book on the agenda, and I know we're getting a little long with the comic slam, but they get good to me, y'all. This is Guardians of the Galaxy, number 6. Another Al Ewing. Al's got two books on the comic slam this week. Al Ewing script. Artist is Marcio Takara. And the Guardians of the Galaxy, this continues, well, not continues, it's kind of a the after effect. Peter Quill is dead. So this one starts off Richard Rider Nova, not to be confused with Mike Bucci. This one starts off, this motherfucker's in therapy. Kind of like Heroes in Crisis type scenario, if you remember that storyline. He's dealing with Peter Quill. His best friend died. He's dealing with his feelings for Gamora, because at one time Gamora had love for him. I know. There's a lot of things going on in this book. At some point, Hercules is over there making out with Marvel Boy. Listen, in space, shit happens. You know, don't ask me no questions. You know, Hercules just like, hey, I got to give me some of that. And that's just how it is. I like how they slid that shit in there. I was like, wait, what is that? Oh, Hercules and Marvel Boy over there fucking. All right, then. And Marvel Boy is also like half insect, too. So there's all kind of shenanigans going on there. But this is more, this book focuses more on the personal relationships with Richard Rider and himself. Him coming to terms with some of the loss, some of his personal problems in his life. Look at me, acting like I'm a fucking psychologist. And his life with Gamora. The finish at the end of the story is they find out, they get news from Earth about what happened at the end of the Empire storyline. If you guys remember, that has been going on for fucking ever in the Avengers. So I still don't know the end of that. So I don't know what they're talking about, which is kind of cool. They just say that you're not going to believe what happened, but this changes just about everything. What are we going to do about it? To be continued. So there's a good little hook, and it's a good little hook for this book. And also, I'm like, damn, now I got to go find out what happened at the end of Empire. Because I had kind of given up a little bit on that just because it had taken so fucking long, and I hate those plant people. Ain't nobody got time for plant people. So, but now I'm going to go find out. So they did their job in terms of that. So let me go through everything. What all did we like this week? Batman, the Three Jokers, loved it. Suicide Squad, I'm definitely on board for Suicide Squad, and Tom Taylor is moving up on my list of writers as of people that I just enjoy their work consistently. Justice League Dark, good book. I love these characters. Man Bat can still fuck off, but I still love that book. Deceased Dead Planet number 3, loving it. One of my favorite series of the last couple years. I can't recommend it enough. We Only Find Them When They're Dead from Boom Studios. Very interesting premise. I'm on board for it for at least another issue or so. The Orville from Dark Horse, loved it. Can't read more of that. I missed that show, and this helped out. The Conspiracy Book from Xenoscope, love that as well. Guardians of the Galaxy, absolutely fantastic. Can't wait to dive back into this, to see what's going on, to see all of these relationships. Is Nova going to get back with Gamora? Is Hercules and Marvel Boy, are they going to continue their relationship? Or was it just a space fling? We need to know. We need to know what happened at the end of Empire. So there you have it. Another great addition for me of the Comic Slam. This is my favorite. I think you guys can tell it's my favorite portion of the show to talk about these comics. And the more I do this, the more I realize that it might be cool to have a guest on now and then to get their perspective on some of these issues, to see if they, you know, get the same thing out of these books that I'm getting. Maybe they do. Maybe they don't. I don't know. But anyway, thank you guys for always tuning in and listening. Please check out my sponsors, ProWrestlingTees.com/ShaneHelms. We got some new shit coming up. I saw the design for the newest shirt, and it might be my favorite of all time. I know I've said that before, but I feel like you're kind of supposed to. You're supposed to be coming up with newer ideas that you like better than the ones before. But this one kind of takes the cake, and I'm excited for you guys to see it. Also, CollarandElbowBrand.com/ShaneHelms. Check them out. They got some of my classic stuff. And that's about it. Thank you all for traveling with me once again. Wait. GOI Kicks on Instagram and Twitter. Don't forget them. Thanks for traveling with me once again on the highway to Helms. Here's the song of the week. Bum, 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 bum. Now tell me what you gonna do. But it ain't nowhere to run. When judgment comes for you. When judgment comes for you. What you gonna do? When it ain't nowhere to hide. When judgment comes for you. Cause it's gonna come for you. Looking for what is it? Is it something?
plan to heaven. Follow the Lord all 24/7 days. God is who we praise, even though the devil's all up in my face. But he's keeping me safe and in my place. Say grace to the gates to race without a chance to face the judge. And against my soul will buzz. Grudge me because there's no mercy for thugs. Ooh, what can I do? It's all about the family and how we grow. Can I get a witness? Let it unfold. We live in our lives to eternal our soul. Hey, oh, hey.
Every day, every day, every day, every day. And we're praying, we're praying, we're praying, we're praying. Still with lace. Now follow me, road stroll. Weather is tell her it's seven. Come, let's go take a visit to the people that's long gone there. While in these terrible. Instead of keeping up with family. Exactly how many days we got lasting? While you laughing, we're passing, passing the way. We gon' raise our souls. Cause I know I'ma meet you up at the crossroad. Y'all know if I ever got love with them both thugs, baby.
Let me be long gone. Really wish you could come home. But when it's time to die, gotta go bye-bye. All the little thug could do was cry, cry. Why they kill my dog? Yeah, man, I miss my Uncle Charles, y'all. And he shouldn't be gone in front of his home. When they did, the boo was wrong. Who's the wrong? Who's the wrong? Gotta hold on, gotta stay strong. When it did come, better believe on. Gotta show that you can lean on, lean on.
Yeah, we pray, we pray, we pray, we pray. Every day, every day, every day, every day. And we pray, we pray, and we pray, and we pray. Every day,
see you at the crossroads.
Somebody really wrong. Everybody wanna test the stuff. And it's sneeze instead of easy to fall.
You know where we're sitting and cussing and tending. No, they didn't win any. When they come again, again and again.
Now tell me what you gonna do.